Thank you, Janelda. I really didn't forget you. Until I put my bulletin down, and then I forgot you. Very good. Thanks, Bill. Luke chapter 2. Well, it's been 9 months of change for Zachariah and Elizabeth since they found out that a group of two seniors were going to have a child, and then John the Baptist was born. Whenever someone's pregnant, there's all kinds of change going on. And also, it's been 9 months of change for Mary and Joseph. And so life goes on as God continues to work in them and the birth of Jesus happens. Both couples were pushed beyond their comfort zones because of change. The older folk were beyond it, but God brought a miracle. Mary wasn't even married, and born to a virgin was a son. Beyond anything that anyone else could ever have imagined. But God was working a miracle and revealing himself. Fortunately, both couples throughout that journey of that 9 months were called upon to trust God. They believed exactly what God would say, said would happen. Well, actually, Zachariah stumbled a little bit. But the moment that he went mute, he understood that God's word to him concerning John was indeed true. But in his stumbling and unbelief, he would have 9 months unable to communicate with his mouth. And so we have these people who were convinced that what they heard was of God. And they were convinced that what they heard came on time. And we've been talking about the fact that God has been so faithful right from the beginning to plant truth within our minds. Christianity is not a mindless faith in God. God constantly planted truth. And to those of us who have grown to appreciate it and value it, it captured our hearts. And in doing that, belief took place, and we began to obey him. This is exactly what happened with Zachariah and Elizabeth. They believed. And Mary and Joseph, and they believed. And so they began to walk the journey. Today, we read about the shepherds, and the very same thing happened. The shepherds with the Jewish mind understood that a Messiah was anticipated. And now, in their time period, these angels show up and say, "We are announcing to you that the Messiah has come." And so, what did the shepherds do? The shepherds believed. And so, they left the place where they were, and they headed off to Bethlehem to see this little one. It really tells us, now we've had four appearances of angels over the last little while, with Zach and Liz, with Mary, with Joseph, and now with the shepherds. Whenever an angel shows up, change happens. And God communicates a message. And like them, we too reach the point, I trust, where we are convinced that whatever God says, God will do. And if God communicates to us through his word or in some other way, indeed, these things are of God. They are to be believed, and we are to obey in view of them. So today, we want to talk about the fact that the Messiah is announced, and we've been talking about of God news. And we talked about on time news, but in the words of the angel, he says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And so these shepherds witnessed this announcement actually happen. And they went and told what they had heard and seen, just as God had said. So let's just stand back then. We all know this is history. It's documented for us. And what are we to take away from what we've been talking about the anticipation of the Messiah, and now he's announced, and these people are convinced it's of God. It certainly was on time. It was good news. How are we to receive this morning in approaching our celebration of Christmas? And I would say, bottom line is this, that the good news, was believed. It was believed. God has spoken through his prophets in the Old Testament, and now through his messengers, the angel, in New Testament times. And the key issue always comes down to this: did those who received that message believe it? And as we said, Zechariah and Elizabeth did. And John was born. Mary and Joseph believed. Though God had to deal with a few details of their understanding, and because they believed and surrendered as Mary did to the Lord's will, this little one was born. Joseph was confused for a bit, but the angel made clear, "Joseph, this is of God. Take Mary to be your wife." And he believed, and he obeyed. And yet he did not have sexual relations with her until Jesus was born. So all along, God's intention was that the good news of the arrival, of the anticipation and of the arrival of his son would be believed. And that's the reason that all the faithful Jewish people in the Old Testament looked forward and lived in such a way that their faith in God was verified by the way that they lived. Many Jews disobeyed. Others were faithful. And this is the reason why, when we hear the good news, our response to that good news is not saying, "Well, isn't that nice?" It's rather affirming, "This we believe." And because of that, we are moved to action. And the Bible says that the action that is necessary is that in our minds we affirm that Jesus is the Messiah. He is called Jesus, which means the Lord saves. And in chapter 2 and verse 11, which we read here, "Unto you is born a Savior," becomes a significant issue in our lives. He had spoken to Joseph already and said, "Joseph, this son that's going to be born unto you, to your wife Mary, you are to name him Jesus," which means the Lord saves. And so this issue of saving us is a key issue in the belief agenda. God wants us to receive the message, to believe the message, and to experience a saving from our sin and to receive the gift of eternal life. That is God's agenda. And so without doubt, we affirm here with all these Christmas characters that God has spoken to us. We value the things that he has said within our hearts, and it would be his will that we exercise our will of our own, where we personally make a commitment to God because of what he's done. John chapter 12, and John is the one gospel that often gives an interpretation of what Matthew and Luke talk about in regard to Jesus coming. But John puts it this way, even in his introduction in chapter 1, that Jesus came to his own people, but his own people did not receive him. They didn't welcome him. They didn't believe him. They thought he was a blasphemer. In general, the Jewish people hated him, crucified him, and said, "Be done with him." It was because of God being faithful to his purposes, that God, through resurrection, overrode their unbelief. And many of those who believed in him and yet stumbled, because we had hope that he would be the Savior of the world, but he's dead. Those people stumbled for a bit, just like Zechariah, and then they realized, indeed, unto us was born a Savior. He is indeed Christ the Lord, risen now and ascended into heaven. But God's intent for all of this, quite simply, and the Christmas characters set the pace for us, is that we believe. And as many as received him, even to those who believe in his name, John 1:12, to those God gives the right to become the children of God. So a key question this morning is this. You've heard the good news. I've heard the good news. Have we taken that personal step of saying, God, I believe you. You made sure that I understood this and that I knew about this because you want me to experience all the benefits of a Savior being provided for me. So the key issue is, do we believe? Because if we truly believe, we receive, and we make a commitment with our hearts and our minds to ask Jesus to be our Savior and to be our Lord, and we walk with him. If we don't believe, we won't. But these are the options that this text gives us. I am one of two kinds of people. I can know all about the birth. I can know that what they say is that Jesus is the King. He is the promised one. And I can believe like Mary and Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth and the shepherds and later Simeon and Anna and others. Or I can be like King Herod in Matthew chapter 2. Though the wise men and the teachers in Jerusalem told him all about this king that was to be born, and apparently now he has been born and he's about 2 years old, he knew all the facts about Jesus, and he had a pretense of belief. You know, when you find him, come and tell me so that I can go worship him too. But in his heart, Herod did not receive Jesus the King. And he was determined to kill him. And so we're in one of two groups. Either we believe or we don't believe. And this is the major issue. God isn't just presenting this as nice news so that you can have a cultural celebration called Christmas. No, no. God is very intentional. So I think that the big issue here is belief. But the other thing that occurs to me is that this good news was recorded. How can we prove that? Just look down at your Bible. It's right there. We've been talking all along that God made sure, for the sake of our minds, that what the prophets in Old Testament times said as being from God was written down. This is very significant. Because I wasn't there, and neither were you, when Abraham was around, or Isaac, or Jacob, or Moses, or Joshua, or Daniel, or David, or Isaiah, or Jeremiah. We were not there. God, in his sovereign control, made sure that this book, documents of historical record, not just nice little Bible stories, documents of historical record, have been written down and recorded so that this morning you and I can read, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. And this is so significant to us because the anticipation has been fulfilled in the announcement. And this issue of belief, the Bible tells us that faith in God, it isn't just a matter of having faith, as if it's just some nice thought or theory. It's faith in God comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in many respects, let's come right up here this morning. The issue is, you are hearing today that God has provided a Savior for us. And many of us over the years have heard this message because it's recorded. So intentional was God to make sure that we know that at one point in history, Jesus was born to provide forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. His name is Emmanuel. Jesus, among all other professing prophets or gods that have come through the nations and various cultures, Jesus is God himself. This is what's recorded in this book. I was so excited recently as I was reading John chapter 1, and we come right down here, and here's Andrew speaking, and he went and he found his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And then later, it was Philip that went to a friend called Nathanael and said, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law." There's all your Old Testament. "And about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So they thought. And then later on, even Nathanael, after seeing Jesus, said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." This is written down so that you and I will understand. It wasn't just the Christmas characters that believed. It was people who came to witness the person of Jesus as he lived on planet Earth himself. And as he lived among us for a time, proving that he was God and that he would do exactly what he said he would do, this is recorded. And in order to believe in him, we need to affirm that this is not only of God, this is not only on time news, this is indeed good news written right here for us. We are not in the dark anymore. We see that this is written. And we treasure what God has made sure is in place because we couldn't have lived all through history. And that brings us to consider this, that the good news, quite simply, this is a profound thing here. The angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not." Like you guys, don't fear. I bring you good news. It is good news of great joy for all the people. But understand this, the angels are saying, understand this, unto you, unto Bill Terrace, and unto Brenda Mardling, and unto Kathy Stoner, and unto John Summerfield, and unto Laura Pope, and unto Ken Martin, unto you. Unto you, God gets so personal. God says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He wants each of us to know him. This is good news to be believed. It is good news that is written right here, so we're not in the dark for 1 minute. This is what God said. God so loved Bill Terrace that he gave his one and only son. And you can insert your name there. God so loved Bill Terrace that he gave his one and only son, that if Bill Terrace will believe in him and receive him as his Savior, Bill Terrace will not perish eternally, but he will have eternal life. And I testify that this is my relationship with Jesus today, and I do have eternal life, and I do have forgiveness of sin, and it is my desire to walk with him because of his compassion and his grace and his mercy toward me, even when I'm not perfect. And God has given us tremendous relationship. How grateful we are today to affirm unto you. You, me, God knows your name. He knows who you are. And God has come on a rescue mission, providing his son so that you could have eternal life, because whosoever will, and it takes an act of the will, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This is God's will for our lives. And so today, as we prepare for the Christmas season, I trust that in your heart and life, you will be able to affirm with me that God so loved me, he gave his one and only Son, that when I believe in him and receive him, I am given the status as becoming a child of God. And I affirm that indeed these things are true. These things are recorded. God has made his will for my life and for each of our lives very clear. If you are not secure about where you're at in this relationship, I encourage you to talk to me or talk to one of our church leaders after, and make sure that you have a personal relationship with Jesus. As we end our time, we need to end with a great hymn or song of joy, rejoicing in God's ability to save. And this old hymn is, or carol, is not in your hymn book, but I was sitting in this week and thinking, like, what is a great song to end with? And the song, "Good Christian Men Rejoice with Heart and Soul and Voice." And so Janelda is going to play this, and we're going to sing it together. Let's sing it with triumph and affirmation. That should be in our hymn book. Okay, good. Well, again, you folk have a Merry Christmas, and safe driving, safe time with your family, and so on. We hope that the spirit of the season in terms of knowing Jesus will be central to everything. But eat a little bit, rest a little bit, sip coffee a little bit, watch Hallmark movies a little bit, you know, all that good stuff. Get some downtime. Please, if you're going to take a poinsettia, we want you to sign the cards if you haven't. And if you're going to take a card to a shut-in, get their mail out of the mailbox as well, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, indeed, we have every reason to rejoice this morning. The message is so clear and it's so personal. You want us to take action because of belief. And today, as we enter into now our week of celebrating, a week of festivities, certainly Christian at their very core, we call it Christmas. Help us to worship him, to give him our hearts, to truly believe, to truly receive all that he's offered to us. Protect us all during this season. There have been tragedy on the roads in southwestern Ontario here over the last few days. Protect our church family, protect our community from harm on the highways. And may our hearts rejoice, and may your goodness overflow from within us, giving you honor. In Jesus' name, amen.